greetings, everybody. This is Master Buddy joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here. We've got a great message. We're going to get right into the account of Noah's flood just one more time, ladies and gentlemen. And this is, if you will, part three of the flood question. Was it worldwide? We're going to examine it. We're going to look behind the intention of the words of the Bible. We're going to actually look at it and see if the word whole earth is basically scripture, and was it implied that the water would cover the earth up to as much as 5 or 6 miles deep, just like the ocean beds would be very deep, then, of course, the whole earth will be covered with a liquid form of water. And where did all that water come from? Where was it in the time of Noah? We'll be right back. Yahweh bless you. Call a friend and neighbor. Tell them Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on tonight. You don't want to miss it. We got a good one for you. Song, Brother Ben, and his band down in the great Republic of Texas. Let's get right into the text tonight and get into the meat of it. This is part three, like I said, ladies and gentlemen, and part three is basically a term to investigate some of the facts, some of the words, and see if exactly Noah's flood was global or local. Was Yahweh's family scattered throughout the whole earth? The Bible said he killed all of the sons of Yahweh, the ungodly. Now, the ungodly meaning that they had the commands given to them, but they went a-whoring. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, if the flood was it that it covered the whole earth, and we have looked at the word erats, which is 776, and it can mean locally, with the interpretation it depended on the translators. They used a poor choice. I want to give you another poor choice just to show you an example. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Well, his name was Cain. That's who she was referring to. Was he from the Lord? No, he wasn't. And so then this is not true. She didn't say that she had gotten a man from Yahweh. That word from is a word that, if you look it up, is against. So the translators should have put, I have gotten a man against Yahweh. And you know that the seed of Cain survived the flood. How? Because it was just a local flood. It wasn't a worldwide flood. Let me give you another example. This is in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Yahweh destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, right? We understand that the angels, the two angels that went in there, it nuked them. It blew them up. This is what Lot's daughter said after they realized that Sodom and Gomorrah had perished, the mother including. And they said, there is not a man in the earth to come into us. We know that not every man in the world was killed, only those in the area of the destruction. We know that. But they said, if you take it literally, like the creationists do, they said there's not a man in the earth. Now, that word is Strong's number again, 776. There is not a man in the local area to come into us. Now, they couldn't get on a jet plane and fly out and replenish themselves. To them, the world was dismal, that they knew. Sodom and Gomorrah was a smoking ruin. As far as they knew, that was everybody in the earth. They didn't know, but they used that word just like the translators did. There's not a man in the earth to come into us. We know better. That was people living elsewhere. Now, let's look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 33. The rain was not poured out upon the earth. Again, 776. Now, of course, we understand it was speaking about a certain area in Egypt, correct? Of course. In Jeremiah 34:1, listen to this now, all the kingdoms of the earth are his dominion, and all the peoples fought against Jerusalem. Now, the phrase, of the earth, is limited to his dominion, which was the dominion of Nebuchadnezzar. He wasn't speaking of all the kingdoms of the earth that were his dominion. He didn't rule the whole world. Second Chronicles 36, verse 23. King Cyrus, his empire is said to have have covered and encompassed all the kingdoms of the earth. But there were the kingdoms in the Far East, which was surely not included, and people living elsewhere that was not in the 36:23 Second Chronicles, that where all the kingdoms of the earth belong to Cyrus. Notice this. In Acts 11:28, it speaks of a similar famine throughout all the world. Yet it is not likely that it really meant over the whole globe, including the New World. When the famine was localized, now did they get a report from around the world and all the stations that the world was suffering a famine throughout the whole world? I don't think so. It was in the general area of their knowledge, and that were in all the kingdoms of the earth. It is not meaning all of the world. Now, again, Luke 2 and 1. I quoted this in part 1, but I want to reference it for you and give you scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. It refers to a decree that went out to tax the whole world. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you really think that it went out a decree from Caesar Augustus to tax the whole world? The whole world. Just like in Genesis, the whole earth, which is the word erat, which means and can mean local or regional. No way did Caesar Augustus rule the whole world. We know that for a fact. And you know that it's a figure of speech, an idiom that is used to describe the area that was related to the writer. It didn't tax the whole world. It only refers to the Romans who controlled the land of Palestine, Judea, and the region. It was a regional thing, not a whole world, as the Bible would say. So if you figuratively take the whole world, and these people jump on this and make the Bible say things it don't really say, or the writers say things that they don't really say. You knew that he didn't tax the whole world. If the flood was global, how did it recede? Why the oceans, the Atlantic, the Pacific, they didn't recede. This planet would have been full of ocean like the movie The Water World if it had filled the earth over 5 or 6 miles deep. And there's no evidence that the Atlantic or the Pacific has receded from its present bed. You say, well, now, there is fossil evidence. I want to clear this up for you. It says that in Genesis 1, that when Yahweh commanded the earth that the waters was above and below, and then he spoke and said, let the dry land appear. Is that correct? That is correct. Let the dry land appear. Now, at one time, the earth, that in its present creation form, the waters was in the heavens, and the waters was on the earth. And Yahweh commanded the waters to recede, and dry land appeared. However, only one quarter of the earth, one quarter now, listen to this, one quarter of the earth became dry. Three quarters of the earth right now is covered with water, but they're not 6 miles deep. It's amazing how that we can do these words without doing the search. How did the plants and the trees survive all the salt water that covered the whole earth? Remember that the flood took place over a whole year, and that would have been impossible for anything to survive, including plants and trees. And yet we know they did. How did the animals arrive in Australia? What about those sloths, those animals that depend on the trees to live in South America? They cannot walk on the land. I could go on with a list of different animals from different environments and climates and show you the almost impossibility. And besides that, there was no reason to flood the whole earth with the 5+ miles of water. There just ain't any reason for that when Yahweh was specifically targeting the Adamites. We know that the Canaanites survived from before the flood and immediately after the flood. We know that. We know that the giants survived before the flood, and they survived after the flood. If the world had been completely covered with 5 miles plus of water, not even the plants, let alone anything concerning the human that's got lungs that has to breathe, it was in the area of Shinar, the place of the bowl. You can see it from space, ladies and gentlemen, in the valley that the Adamites lived in. They began to miscegenate in the earth with the other races until there was only one man and his family and their wives, 8 souls, that were genetically pure bloodline. The rest had miscegenated. To these, Yahweh killed them. All that lived in this valley, it was flooded, and they all died. The Canaanites didn't die. The giants didn't die. Those people that lived down in Australia, the Aborigines, they didn't die. The Eskimos, if there was any at that time, they didn't die. The American Indians, they didn't die. Because this flood happened in the Bronze Age. And we know exactly that the civilizations that survived in the Bronze Age, that they did not speak of any flood in their civilization, and their civilization was not broken. There was no lapse. If the whole planet was covered with water, how did it drain away or evaporate from the earth in 164 days? This could not have taken place in 100 years, let alone 164 days. The mathematics which supports a local flood is overwhelming. But the mathematics of a worldwide flood is highly improbable. You say, well, ain't nothing impossible with God. Well, of course. Wasn't nothing impossible with Him to separate the heavens and the earth, which was covered with water. Peter referred to this, the earth standing in the water and out. This is during the flood, the mountains standing in the water and out. there was other mountains, like the Himalayas, Mount Everest, almost 30,000 feet. The enormity of the water and the tonnage. If the flood covered the highest mountain, which is, like I say, Mount Everest, how would they survive in extremely cold, thin air for over a year? Would people who lived in Europe, North America, South America, Australia, would they have heard Noah's message about God's judgment? Suppose Noah had gone on an evangelistic campaign, by what sign would he have convinced them? Merely to mention that his family at home was constructing an ark that would hardly have carried much weight. In other words, the building of the ark was a testimony only to those who could actually see it or have first-hand knowledge of it, and people could have hardly been scattered to the ends of the earth if this was to be a testimony to them. Even fish life would suffer in a universal catastrophe. The mingling of the salt and the fresh water would be fatal to many of the fish of the species that we have. They just couldn't survive. A freshwater fish could not survive in salt water. Again, in Genesis 6 and 4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of Yahweh came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them. These were mighty men of old renowned. Now in Numbers 13:33, listen to this. They was also the reports that the Israelites saw the Nephilim. The sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became, and we look like grasshoppers in compared to them. And the same Hebrew word is 5303 that's used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And that's 1333. Same word. The Nephilim. Those who fell. The fallen ones. Why weren't they destroyed during the flood? That is a main stumbling block to those who hold that it was a global flood and try to make Yahweh's word say things that it didn't really say. There's no need for it to be worldwide. The sons of Adam were in the Turin Basin. This little cup surrounded by mountains, and of course on the valley floor where they lived, there was hills. But the huge mountain chain that surrounded them, of course the water overflowed the mountains and the valley, but it certainly didn't cover all of the mountains on the earth. Well, you say, well, what about Yahweh's covenant that there will never begin be any water or flood to destroy all mankind and animals with flood? Well, it's true. It says that he would never again destroy all the people and animals in that local flood. But that same world, the same one now, not a different one, but the same one that was flooded in that region, he is reserved in the last days. It's going to be different. This time, it's going to be by fire. And this time, something marvelous is going to transpire. It will not be the righteous who sinned and come short that will be destroyed like it was in the days of Noah, the Adamites. And again, I say that Yahweh went and preached to them. He didn't go preach to the whole world because the whole world didn't die. There was nothing commanded to them. No chastisement was directed toward them in any way. Yahweh saw that their beginning was good. He saw that his experiment with Adam who, when he came down here, was enticed and brought away, after his own lust, by the way, just like they are today. Look at the Adamites. The Adamites are the sons of Seth. Covenant with Yahweh's covenant to his people, and he said, my family, my people, are the fewest people. Deuteronomy 28 and 10. My people are the fewest people upon the earth. Who's he talking about? Does he look at a small family in the earth as his family? Was what he said. Listen to what it says about Eretz, number 776. The Hebrew word translated earth throughout the flood account, and it does not require a worldwide meaning. The word itself is not implied as worldwide. The word translated country is 140 times, and listen how many times land, and the water covered the land, 1,476 times. And in the Bible, many of these are often of limited land areas, just like in Egypt. And the whole earth was covered with the locusts. And you know it wasn't. You know what, the whole earth didn't cover all the earth. It was in the region of Eretz, meaning the land of Egypt. And yet the translator said, and the whole earth was covered. Now, concerning Abraham, he said, get thee out of thy country, Eretz. Get out of the land here. Don't get out of the whole world, but get out of the country unto a land, Eretz, again, 776. And I will show you in Genesis 12 and 1, or another one, Abraham journeyed from hence toward the south country, Eretz, and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur. That's in Genesis 20 and 1. Now, it's not that he left the whole world. He just got on his mule or whatever, camel, and rode up to a different country. And so the land, Eretz, is the same word that they try to use back in Genesis, where it covered the whole earth. They say that word says covered the whole earth, and it don't say that. Other references in Genesis also show that Eretz was used to show specific lands, the whole land, or Havilah, the whole land, Eretz again, of Ethiopia, the land, Eretz again, of Nod, on the east of Eden. Famine at the time of Joseph affected all lands, or Eretz. And also during the plagues upon Egypt, at one point we read that the rain was not poured out upon the earth, which was Eretz. Now, do your word studying in Genesis 7 and 4, yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from the face of the earth. Genesis 7:23, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they were with him in the ark. Genesis 8 and 9, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were upon the face of the whole earth, he read. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her again back into the ark. But remember, we let the scriptures interpretate the scriptures about the face of the earth, which is, again, Erech 776. And in Genesis 41:56, and the famine has been over all the face of the land. And Joseph opened all the places which had corn in them and sold to the Egyptians. So the famine was not all over the face of the land. Again, this is the word Erech, because we know that Joseph was growing corn. And he sold it to the Egyptian, and the famine is severe in the land of Egypt. And a spirit hath journeyed from Yahweh, and cutteth off quails from the sea, and leaveth by the camp as a day's journey, and as a day's journey there, round about the camp, and about 2 cubits on the face of the land. These are the quail. And, ladies and gentlemen, that word again is Erech. And if we stayed with the interpretation of Genesis where the flood covered the whole earth, we use that same kind of application to that word, we know that the quails wasn't 2 cubits all over the face of the earth. We know that. And so the choice of words here is the same word. It's how that you interpret it. 1 Samuel 20:15, but thou didst not cut off thy kindness from my house unto the age, knowing Yahweh's cutting off the enemies of David, each one from off the face of the earth. Again, it was limited to the affliction that David was cutting off his enemies from the face of the ground. The word is ground, not the earth, not over the whole earth. Isaiah 23:17. And it hath come to pass at the end of 70 years that Yahweh inspected Tyre, and she had repented of her guilt, that she committed fornication with all the kingdoms of the earth on the face of the ground. And we know that that's not true. That the merchants of Tyre did not commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the earth on the face of the earth. It was just in their local area, the ground, the land around them that they controlled, did they commit these sins against Yahweh. And in Jeremiah 47:2, thus saith Yahweh, lo, waters are coming up from the north, and have been for an overflowing stream, and they shall overflow the land of its fullness, the city and the inhabitants in it. And men have cried out and howled, every inhabitant of on the face of the earth. But it reads, upon the inhabitants of that land. Why then should any insist that the flood covering the face of the whole earth, Erech, must mean a universal flood? Why? Because they're trying to say, well, that's what the Bible said, it covered the whole earth, glory to God. We know that after Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land, here's what we read. So Joshua took the whole land, Erech, and the land Erech rested from war. Joshua 11:23. No one would think of reading earth into this passage. We know that the conquest of Canaan didn't include America, China, Australia, or the north of the South Pole. So the word land in a limited area is more correct than the earth or the face of the earth or a global flood. Now, the word Erech can be translated land or country, which is more consistent than the word whole earth. Also, the mountains can be translated hills. We must not forget that the waters were dried from the earth. Now, let me give you something here to ponder. If you read here that the water increased and bowed the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Really? Or was it lifted up with the same word here, erat, lifted over the land? Do you think that's possible, that the ark was lifted over into space and orbited above the earth? I don't think so. But if we literally take that and apply that word erat, in every instance, we get these wild and unimaginable things that the Bible is not saying into the minds of those that are likely to say that. Now, if the flood was global, how much water drained off? What about the rain? This would be like a dripping water outlet of one end of a swimming pool and pouring it into the other end. The level would remain unchanged. Now, if you notice the events of Genesis 8 and 4 and 5, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. It was 74 days after the ark rested that the tops of the mountains were seen. We believe that these were some mountains right around the spot of the Tarim Basin where the ark came to rest. In the winter, or in the application of the time period, it meant that all the mountains, if it had said all the mountains in the world, he should have said the tops of the mountains were seen after that the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. This is self-evident, for there are mountains all over the world that are higher than any in that land that was anciently known as Mount Ararat. He also wrote that it stopped raining and the water began to recede or go back down. The Bible implies the water receded at the rate of 15 cubits in 74 days. That's in Genesis chapter 7, verse 20, chapter 8, verse 4 and 5. A number of recognized commentators have mentioned this point. If we figure a cubic at about 18 inches in the level, water level would have dropped 270 inches during this time, or to round it off, 4 inches a day. If the flood depth was 29,050 feet, which would equal 348,600 inches, and the water level dropped 4 inches a day, it would take 87,150 days to go back down to normal sea level. And that would be almost 239 years. Now let's double the figure and cut that figure to 100 and say 19 years. See, it just don't work. Even if you double that figure to 8 inches a day and cut it down, still take over 150 years instead of 150 days. Something's wrong here. Now, have you ever considered Noah's zoo? All right, let's talk about it. If there were all animals and species in the world and they went into the ark, they would have, some of them do not even live for a year to start off with. Like, for example, insects like bees, male ants, fly, ants. Remember, all these creatures who were in the ark did not have any reproduction until after they came out of the ark, and that's recorded in the book of Genesis 8:15 and 17. Another problem. arises when God told Noah to bring the creatures into the ark and sort the male and the female creatures. If there were every creature in the world, this would require more knowledge than distinguishing between a bull and a cow. What about snakes, ants, termites, snails? Whew, boy. What about feeding the lions, the leopards, the tigers, the cats, elephants, giraffes, hippopotamus? How much extra animals would be required for all the meat-eating animals? What about the elephants? One elephant can eat 44 pounds of grain, 66 pounds of hay, 70 pounds of turnips, carrots, or cabbage or fruit. If an elephant ate 170 pounds of food each day, this would be 62,050 pounds during a year in the ark. And don't forget to double that pound to 124,100 for two elephants. Even some animals like the panda in Asia and the koala in Australia, three-toed sleuth in South America, require a specialized diet. Did Noah and his family gather them? What about the woodpeckers that peck the wood of termites, or termites that eat the wood? That would be a lot of trouble. Did the dinosaurs also include, as someone claimed? Now, Noah had a problem here, ladies and gentlemen. If, in fact, or did he take animals that was only in the region of the Turin Basin so that he could sacrifice, which is exactly what he done when he landed. That's why he took seven of the clean and two of the unclean. He didn't need as many as the unclean, because these animals in specific groups were to be sacrificed. If a figure is a cubic 18 inches, and I believe it's between 18 and 25, and I like the 25 inches, this works out to be in the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Now, when you divide the height of the ark by three, for three levels, it would allow a maximum of 15 feet per level. But you've got to remember that to support the tremendous weight that would be carried of these large beams in the floors and ceilings would be required, making actual clearance about 13 feet. The door would have been no higher than this. And if huge animals such as an African elephant and a giraffe or a dinosaur were involved, as worldwide floods would require, some would have had problems of even getting in the door. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's absurd. After the flood, the descendants of Shem, Ham, and Japheth traveled and settled in various countries. We know that. And by these were the isles of Gentiles divided in their lands. Were these Gentiles? Every one of them, after their tongues, after their families, and their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood, Genesis 10:5. If the flood had drowned all but eight people, how can we explain the existence of these nations to which Noah's descendants migrated and which were divided by them? Therefore, the belief that all nations of the world that came from Noah's three sons is filled with major difficulties. Now, people say that Noah preached 120 years. Others say that people will not live after the 120 years. There was one oldest French woman who lived 122 years I wouldn't be surprised if there would be some more to come that would live longer. It is. Here's the verse. Genesis section 3, and Yahweh said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for he is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. Judgment was pronounced upon the people in that land, but Yahweh is willing to be delayed for 120 years. This passage doesn't say anything about a flood or building an ark. Even just how this judgment will be carried out is not explained. Years before the flood, Noah would have been 480 years old, for he was 600 at the time of the flood that is mentioned in Genesis 7:11. Later, when Noah was 500 years old, his sons were born. That's in Genesis 5:32. And it was later still, after these sons had grown and married, that Noah was told to build the ark. Make an ark, and I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth, and you shall come into the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives, with you. Genesis 6:14 through 18. Clearly then, it did not take 120 years to build the ark. It's possible that the legend handed down in the book of Jasher, this is where they're getting it from, that it took 5 years. And that's in Jasher chapter 5, verse 34. It took 5 years. But the Bible itself does not say how many years it took. The book of Jasher says it took 5. Now, let me conclude this segment by reading Luke 17. And it came to pass, 17:26, Luke. And it came to pass in the days of Noah, as it came to pass in the, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were given in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed all that were eating and drinking and being married. Who were they? The same ones that the Creator went and preached to in the days of disobedience, as he waited in the days of Noah. Same one. He didn't go to all the world and preach to them. They said he went in to the prison and preached to those that were disobedient in the days of Noah, meaning the sons of Adam. The day of Noah, the day of Lot, and the day of the Son of Man during the destruction of Jerusalem in A.D., which means locally, only not worldwide. And I've been reading from a book called Noah's Flood and Joshua's Long Day and Lucifer's Fall by Ralph Woodrow. And the question, did Noah's Flood cover the whole earth? And Mr. Ralph Woodrow says no. Pastor Buddy says no. Now, maybe Friday night, we will get into the space that it would take on the ark, the animals, how many it would take, because it relates in 6:20 of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, every creeping thing on the earth, which is 1:27, Adam's earth. After his kind, two of every sort came unto thee and to keep them alive. Now, here we have two Hebrew words used in the same passage. Genesis 7:4, and yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon Eretz, upon the ground, not over the whole earth. But we're going to get into that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. We need your help. Dr. Gary's number if you would like to call us tonight, we would like for you to call us, and we would like for you to tell us what you think about the flood series. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Tell him that Pastor Buddy sent you. You can write Pastor Buddy tonight simply by writing to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. 37824. That's Pastor Buddy, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live here on a Wednesday evening around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel. And we go around the world. We're also simulcast around the world on Worldwide Web. Simply go to WWRB, click on the website, go to Listen Live, click on Galaxy One, that'll bring you in on 3.185. But if you have a shortwave, you can pick us up also around the world on 3.185. And you can also get us on simulcasting on your download internet, clear around the world. Yahweh bless you is my prayer tonight. Call me. Area code 423-626-2173. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. I love you. If you'd like to have this series, we'll wrap it up possibly Friday or Saturday night, depending on what the Spirit tells us to do. You can have the whole series if you'll write Pastor Buddy and request the series on the flood was not worldwide. Evidence supporting the fact that it was a regional flood to destroy the sons of Adam who were ungodly. They were godly sons from Adam. Adam was the son of God. He was a blushing. Aaron and Adam itself means blushing. These were the ungodly. These were the ones with the conscience. They had been given to miscegenate and destroy the original Adamic bloodline. Designed by Satan, reference to the book of Matthew chapter 13, where it says that the enemy was Satan who sowed the seed, and I gave you that. Cain, who survived the flood. The Messiah came after the flood 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years after the flood, he came, and the Canaanites were still there. How'd they get across the flood? If only Adam and his sons. How did all these different races get here? Ladies and gentlemen, it begs the question that cries out to you from the depths of your heart. Would you face the truth and say that Yahweh's people were destroyed for the lack of knowledge? The sons of Adam, the sons of Seth, and the Shemites, who had a covenant out of the three descending sons from Noah, only Shem had a covenant. And from there we get the Israelite people who battled the Canaanites from the day of the conception of Isaac. When the tare was sowed in the womb of Rebekah, Esau, who was hated from before his birth, the very sperm that brought him into the world, different from Jacob, ladies and gentlemen. Jacob was a chosen one from the sonship of the headship company of mighty ones, born from Yahweh himself, who fathered Adam into the world, and brought his sons and daughters through the lineage of Seth, the new beginning. And from there, ladies and gentlemen, the battle rages today, Satan trying to destroy the very elect. And he would, if it was possible. But Yahweh's got a plan, and the plan is that all Israel will be saved. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you around the world again. I'll see you Friday night. We're going to be on at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. We want you to be there with us, and we're going to have a great program for you. And Yahweh's greatest blessings be to you, as we'll see you Friday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time around the world on the Transmitting Journal of the South. Yahweh bless you, and I love you. America, it's time to wake up.